I don't understand you. I don't get it. What's your problem with Velcro? I know so many people, I have Velcro sneakers. They close with a Velcro flap. And people look at that and they go, Ron, Velcro? Yeah. It was invented in outer space. It's Velcro. Get with the times. Everybody else is walking around with shoes, and they tie their shoes with a string, with shoelaces. It's a string. It's a string. And you think that that's impressive? You look like an idiot. You're wearing stuff on your feet that are held to your feet with a string. Seriously? Are you kidding me? And you walk around all day, and you go, oh, and then this is how lovely this looks. Oh, hold on, Bob. I have to tie my shoes. And then you bend over with your ass sticking out, and you make a little bow on the top of your shoe to keep the shoe on your foot. Are you serious? They invented Velcro. All you do, you put the shoe on, you bring the flap over, it sticks automatically, it's never going to come off, you're not going to have to tie your Velcro. It's good for the whole day. It's good for your life if you sleep in your shoes. So why hasn't the fashion industry embraced Velcro shoes? Velcro fastening. The invention's right there. Come on. I'm incensed about this. And then you have the nerve to say to me, Ron, Velcro shoes, dorky. Dorky? Tying a string around your foot? That's not dorky. Might as well put a little Band-Aid on the front of your glass eyeglasses frames, dorky. Do I seem upset?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Where's my medication?
Whatever.
Seriously. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I see.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be with you. Relax, just relax. We should all calm down, including myself. Let's just chill for a second. Got a great show today, he said knowingly. Toward the end of the program, I have a great guest. It's an actual organization that is pushing for internet privacy, especially with Facebook. And Facebook is being challenged in the European nations. They're actually doing something about this. Here in the United States, I'm too stupid. Europe is far more advanced when it comes to inventions these days and policies and things like that. They're way ahead of us. Do you know the European nations had flat screen TVs a half a decade, well beyond a half a decade before we even saw flat screen TVs? I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with us. Well, I don't know what's wrong with you. Pretty much that's what it is. Anyway, how are you? Good to be with you. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the Facebook thing later on, how your privacy, you know, has been invaded. What do you do about it? So what are you going to do about it? Facebook is a tremendous, tremendous company. Facebook is probably more influential than many nations on the planet. Everybody does the Facebook thing. Well, I don't. And by the way, not to throw it in your face or anything, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't think of doing that. I haven't been on the Facebook thing for now 3.5 months. I have not entered the Facebook thing. And in some of my little stupid apps, it asks me if I want to sign in with Facebook. And I say, no, I will never sign in with Facebook again. I have signed on to my last Facebook. It's true. It's true. I'm defiant. You see, here's the way this is supposed to work. If you're not happy with something, you don't buy from that company. You don't engage them. If you don't like their policies or something that they've done or something that they've said or they've screwed you somehow, you as an individual are not forced to buy from that company unless it's a monopoly and we're not supposed to have them in this country. You just choose. And I chose not to deal with Facebook anymore. I don't use them as a sign-in. I don't even care about them. I choose not to use them. And it's effective for me. I feel free. All of you still use the Facebook thing because you're stuck, because your values and systems have been compromised because of the size of this company, and you get your little rocks off using Facebook. I am a man of principle. I am a man of principle. So I'm quite proud of myself. As a matter of fact, the more things that I do of which I am proud of myself, the better I feel as an individual. It's good to feel proud of yourself. If I was a contortionist, I would take my hand and slap myself on the back in a congratulatory manner, saying, good for you, Ron. Good for you. You're a man of principle. Yes, I am. In more ways than I really care to discuss. I have lost quite a few friendships since the Trump administration came into power because of my principles. But yet, I continue to pat myself on the back, saying, well, good for you, Ron. You're a man of principles. I am a moral man. I am a good man. And I wish I was a contortionist. Do you ever see a real contortionist? These people who can wrap their bodies around themselves and then put themselves in a trunk or in a box? I don't think I want to know them. I would just cringe. My belly would get little tingly sensations of disgust when if I saw somebody take their arm and put it behind their back and then contort their leg and wrap it around their shoulders. It's like, oh, okay. This isn't something that I need to see. If you think it's a form of entertainment to contort your body into a tiny box, then have yourself a good time. To me, that's not entertainment. That's ew. That's ugh. Maybe you can contort, doesn't mean you should. And not in front of me, please. I don't walk around the planet looking for people to contort in front of me. It's so many people say to me, Ron, can you roll your tongue? Excuse me? Like, what'd you say? Ron, stick out your tongue. All right. Now, can you make it like in a U shape? Can you like roll up your tongue voluntarily with your tongue muscles? I you know what? I never really tried to, because there's like no point to doing that. So if I can do that, does that give me a discount coupon to a store? I mean, what is the point of that? Does it mean I'm more sexual? Does it mean that I'm going to live long? What does it mean? Oh, nothing. I'm just curious. Some people can roll their tongue, some people can't. Has conversation become so boring that that's what you need to find out from people? God. Ron, can you roll your tongue? I don't care. I got a question for you. Can you shut up? Huh? Can you take your mouth, put your lips together, and not have any sounds come out of it at all? Can you do that? That's a talent that I would love to see coming out of your mouth, not anything. Can I roll my tongue? Then there are people that have the talent, apparently, to put a cherry in their mouth or a cherry stem and tie a knot simply using their mouth with a cherry stem inside of their mouth. Again, that might be a little bit more of a talent, yes, than rolling your tongue. It's not like, yes, I can roll my tongue. I've spent many years at institutes trying to exercise my tongue muscles. I exercise, and there must be exercise for 3 hours every day in order to loosen them up and gain these muscles in your tongue to allow them to roll. And then you have achieved greatness. Oh, God, please, please do that mouth shut thing that I was talking about earlier. Do you understand now why I don't sleep very well?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Here's a question I have for you, and don't answer it because it's rhetorical. This isn't a two-way communication kind of media thing, so I have a question for you, but again, don't say anything because it's stupid if you do. I have a lovely, lovely, wonderful dog. I love my dog, and I feed my dog twice a day, at 6 in the morning, at 6 at night, like clockwork. My dog expects it. My dog can tell time because apparently it's 6 o'clock. Every 12 hours, my dog knows that it's 6 o'clock. Doesn't matter if it's daylight savings time, standard time, Greenwich Mean Time, it makes no difference. My dog's got that kind of clock going and also can roll its tongue. I think, I don't know, I'm assuming, check it out, who cares? When I feed my dog, I open up a can of dog food. My dog likes that wet dog food canned stuff. As I probably would if I were a dog, I wouldn't want to eat dry cereal every day. And that's it. I want wet stuff to eat. Moist and lovely things to eat. So I open up a can of dog food. And some of the flavors now have become quite exotic. There's salmon flavored dog food now, and there's beef and spinach flavored dog food, which sounds lovely. Chicken and carrots. I'm not too sure my dog cares about the vegetables. I don't think my dog says to herself, Ron, I appreciate the beef and the wonderful dog food, but can we do some more vegetables? I mean, come on. It's healthy. I don't think my dog cares about the vegetables. I also don't think my dog cares about the flavor of the dog food, if indeed the flavor is accurate. I don't think my dog says, beef flavored, chicken flavored. No, because dogs eat their own poop. They lick their own poop, and sometimes they eat their own poop. Even licking your own poop says something about you. I don't think it's a gourmet kind of palate to say, yes, I love the beef and spinach dog food, Ron, and I also love my own poop. What kind of palate do you have? What, are you serious? You think dogs have a palate? Here's an interesting flavor that intrigues me. It's the cheapest Alpo dog food has this flavor, and yet it's the most exotic. Alpo dog food, go to your supermarket. This is absolutely true. You look at the Alpo, the wet dog food in the can. The flavor is filet mignon flavor. It says it right on the can. It's an orange strip on the top of the can. It says filet mignon flavor. My dog deserves filet mignon. But I'm saying to myself, Ron, does this really taste like filet mignon? I don't know. My dog will never tell me. My dog will not eat out of the bowl and then look up at me and say, Ron, filet mignon, huh? Thank you. I don't think my dog, first of all, knows what filet mignon is. And secondly, what's the point of that? I am so curious. Someday I want to take a tiny little taste of the dog food. Just stick my finger in it, put my finger in my mouth, and see if that really tastes like filet mignon. I have a feeling it doesn't. I have a real strong feeling that won't taste like filet mignon in any way, shape, or form. It may taste like crap, which dogs apparently love to eat, but I don't think it's not even filet mignon flavored crap. I don't even think it comes close. It might be the same color generally, but I think that's going to be the only thing it has in common. And I don't know, because it's not dogs that go shopping for dog food. It's people. So all the dog food companies are marketing to people. So that's why they say beef and spinach, chicken and carrots, filet mignon flavored, tenderloin flavored. I mean, come on, seriously? It's marketing us, the humans, and we never, ever taste the product. It could be pure bull. This doesn't taste like any of those flavors. Why, they've been cheating me. It's because we're not the ones eating this stuff. And then you say, look at my dog. My dog loves this food. Look at my dog. My dog won't stop eating this food. My dog just loves this food. Your dog loves any food. Oh, not true, Ron. Oh, not true. When I put certain foods down in my dog's bowl, my dog may not eat that food at all. Oh, why? Is it liver-flavored? Hey, what are you trying to feed me here? Where's my filet mignon, Ron? This isn't filet mignon My dog doesn't care. Here's what would be truth in advertising. If you went to the supermarket, looked at the Alpo dog food, and it said on the label, poop flavor. You know your dog's going to eat that. Unfortunately, that market doesn't sell to humans very well. But I guarantee you, if there was a dog walking down the aisle pushing a cart in a supermarket, and your dog saw a can that said poop flavored, your dog would be buying cases of that stuff. I guarantee you, and you know that I'm right. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this Facebook thing, how you can protect yourself. Measures are being taken. Not fast enough, but we'll talk about that with our guest after this.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlicker Schick, the jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlicker Schick the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlicker Schechter. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Gabe Greenberg and Adam Helcoff joins us now. And we're talking about privacy. And this is something that came to light with the Facebook debacle with Cambridge Analytical. Very quickly, let's explain what actually happened there.
Sure. So, go ahead, Gabe.
sure, Ron. So, as you may or may not know, or your listeners may or may not know, advertising in the media and advertising industry has used data to target consumers for years. Mm-hmm. But I think in this most recent case with Facebook, because it was near and dear to the democratic process and consumers felt like they were violated because of the use of their data, they were either hyper aware or you know, just generally concerned about the use of the data. I think the hidden dirty secret in our industry is that data is used every day for covert advertising, and Adam and his team have been working on a product to address that.
Yeah, it isn't. I guess we all accept that we can be marketed based on what we publicly say, but we kind of figured that Facebook was somewhat private in there, like a chat room, I suppose. And then realizing that, yeah, okay, it's not. But then when the data is used for something other than marketing goods and has to do with for political reasons or sensitive background data, that becomes a little bit different.
Yeah, I think the basically that's the right line of thinking. It's that the context is out of whack, right? Like, I take a survey to like tell my friends what kind of celebrity I am or what kind of potato I am and all those funny surveys. And then that data is used to figure out if I'm leaning to the left or right. And then I get propaganda. Yeah. That's kind of it might change my like it kind of borders on my moral compass of like what's okay.
Yeah. But isn't that how Facebook makes its money anyway? It's really, I mean, bottom line, it sells the data. That's why it's set up.
Yes. It sells attention based on an audience, right?
Correct.
The idea of context isn't there. Like if I sign up for like some diet group on Facebook, a fast food company can target me.
Yes.
You know, that's like I don't think about that when I'm signing up for the diet Facebook on Facebook.
Correct.
But that's what happens.
Yes.
And it's just an open marketplace for data.
So
I wouldn't say it's a nefarious thing. It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. So I guess there have been some moves, especially overseas, to actually deal with this.
Yeah, the Global Data Protection Regulation does just that, where people have to basically give permission for their data to be used. You have to opt in first.
Yes.
And it's and basically the way it's enforced is by if you don't do it as a publisher or the data company, a big chunk of your earnings goes to the government.
Okay. And that's the way it's set up right now in other nations, is that right?
As a few days ago, right, Gabe?
Yeah, the EU, it actually goes into effect on the 25th of May, tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the EU is really the first to take the lead on this concept of the right to be forgotten, where your data can no longer be used to market you without your permission. But you know, our belief, and this is why, you know, Ron, we're you know, excited to have an opportunity to talk to you and your listeners, is that, you know, this is the beginning of a perfect storm where consumers are becoming more aware of how their data is being used, whether it's nefarious or not, and are asking for more control. And we believe that, you know, there's some regulation that California State is working on, and we believe that the rest of many of the states in the U.S. or the state government, United States government, and others, happen to be in Asia at the moment, and it's a big conversation going on here in APAC, where the government is also talking about following the EU. So you know, I think consumers need to be more aware of the way their data is being used. You know, Amazon is a great example. Google is another great example of the way your search behavior is used against you or for you, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
And consumers should have the right to choose whether or not they can be targeted in the way Adam suggested. You know, if I'm on a diet, I don't want McDonald's in my face with fast food advertising commercials or incentives. And the same holds true if, you know, I do a survey somewhere, doesn't mean that I want to be considered to be in the right or left wing. I want to have choices to do what I want on the internet and not have Big Brother follow me around.
Right, or be bombarded because I may have an opposite opinion. Therefore, I get bombarded by propaganda to try to change my mind.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So, is this in this country, whether this comes to pass here or not, is this more effective as a state regulation or a federal regulation? Are the chances of both possible?
Yeah, I think both are possible. Adam, what's your point of view?
Yeah, I think at the state level it'll be effective. I think it'll be most effective at the federal level, so it's consistent. It'll be almost impossible for internet service providers and, you know, websites and whatnot to conform to multiple different types of regulation. You know, so
now,
and a lot of the solution is more of a technical in nature, right? Like, there's ways to solve this, to solve these kind of problems that be pro-consumer, still allow the internet services to work. It's just that, you know, is all my data being housed in a central repository, you know, being mined like a commodity?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's okay. That's the question.
But what about advertisers and companies that have depended on this as a substantial percentage of their marketing efforts, which would be crucial to them? Do you think they'll lobby against this?
100%, it'll be lobbied against to a degree.
Right.
I think what we're seeing, especially with the Cambridge Analytica issue, is that it's no longer brand safe won't be brand safe in the future to have you know major advertising on platforms that violate you know, the kind of the moral compass of its users in this way.
Well,
that's kind of how we see it.
Well, Facebook is a separate nation almost. That's how powerful it is. And I know Facebook has made many apologies and said that they're very aware of the concerns, but does Facebook really want to limit their ability to sell information?
It's hard to guess. The answer, I think, from the shareholder point of view, would be, you know, anything that might limit the revenue potential would be considered a no-no.
Yeah.
But there's probably, you know, a way to increase revenues and not violate consumer privacy in the same way, you know, by having, you know, more opt-in advertising that's more targeted, and maybe the prices go up for advertising.
And let's be honest, you know, many or most consumers, if they were given the choice to receive valuable content or offers that were relevant, you know, contextually relevant to them, I don't think many people would object, assuming that they are relevant. I think part of the problem today is that advertising is done in a very covert nature, and the advertising isn't necessarily relevant to me at any particular time.
Yeah.
So, you know, building a protocol or a platform that allows consumers to have choice, and, you know, understanding that there's a give and take, that content isn't free and there's, you know, high cost to create it, I don't think consumers would necessarily object, assuming that there's a fair value exchange.
Right. So, go on.
I was going to say, in the idea that the way, you know, Gabe was just describing how advertising is done today, it hasn't actually changed in the, you know, since the advent of programmatic advertising, you know, maybe 12 years ago or so. It actually, we haven't gotten any new technology. We've gotten updated, faster technology and smarter machine learning and things like that, but the methodology hasn't actually iterated.
Right.
You know, and, I think that's the inflection point we're in today.
Okay. So we're running short of time. How does the public participate to get this through?
Educating themselves on GDPR and things like that,
yeah.
Understanding that in this country data isn't protected, and
right.
You know, maybe making a choice that way. You know, if you think about data as a property right, not as something that's, you know, that you're giving to the to Google and Facebook and for them to use,
yeah.
You know, it might change the conversation.
Well, it's like anything else in our society here. We have to get people to care. We have to get people to wake up and understand what's going on. And that's been a problem in this country, perhaps not as much of a problem in European countries. But here, people just kind of walk through life with their blinders on. Anyway, where do I go for more information about this?
We have a website up called MAD Network, madnetwork.io. And there's also a nonprofit consortium of many of the industry called AdLedger, adledger.org.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information. Very valuable. I wish we had more time, but good stuff. Thank you for doing this. And pleasure speaking to you.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Okay, take care. All right. Okay, all right. I don't know what kind of information that was, but nonetheless, there it was. The interview has been achieved. I do hope that when you listen to this program, not only are you entertained, perhaps have a few chuckles at my expense, but that you also learn something. And if all those things are true and come together as a perfect storm, then we will say that we have done a marvelous entertainment program. I hope that you join me again on the next weekday when I'm going to do this all over again, just use different words. And I look forward to this. Will you mark this on your calendar? You can listen anytime during the day. That's the great thing about this. It's not just on at a particular time. We do these things very early in the morning so that you can enjoy this at any time during the entire day. It's a sacrifice that I make. I also get rather well paid for it, but that's besides the point. That has nothing to do with it. It's not your business. Have yourselves a wonderful day. By the way, Ron, I thought you were going to leave. Apparently you're still here. You can find us all over the place for your convenience. We're hosted on the Podbean network. They have all of our episodes. Well over 1,000 of them are there, and you can listen to all 1,000 of them if you really have the stomach for that. That's the Podbean network that supports us. We're also found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Amazon Alexa thing, SoundCloud every once in a while. And now we're on YouTube every single day. Every show is on YouTube. Just search Ron Van Dam Show, and you can see all kinds of stuff, and even some clips from my television program, which is, you know, crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you peace, enjoy. Thank you. Thank you.